I am certain that you have noticed that the crosses here in the church are covered in purple drapes. If you haven't, you're even less observant than I am. The brass ornamentation has been removed to the degree that it could be on Ash Wednesday, when we were reminded of our mortal nature with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We are deep in the belly of Lent. And for the last couple of days, the gray skies have reinforced that Lenten mood. And yet, in the midst of the gray skies and the gloomy atmosphere, on the seemingly barren tree branches, there are hopeful signs of days to come. In the midst of the constant evergreens, cedars, and pines, and in the seemingly lifeless landscape of bare branches and dry leaves, there are small, bright green leaves and clusters of blossoms. Once again, tulips and daffodils are raising their tender heads, and iris leaves are beginning to shoot up out of the ground. Red buds and pear trees and others are beginning to show signs of dormancy. It looks like death, life out of death. Once again, there is hope that the long winter days will give way to the bright light of spring. And if you're paying attention, you will notice these glimpses of spring. If you have allergies, your eyes and nose will clue you into the fact that once again, there is life and growth and pollen. Friday was the first official day of spring, and creation is beginning to recognize that human day of designation. This time of year, if we pay attention to our surroundings, we can be very aware of the both and reality of our lives. It is by designation the season of spring, but it may not actually feel like spring. It is spring, but there's still a lot of very dead-looking trees, and it can still turn cold, and there are still gray days ahead. This is a time of transition, a time that very much embodies our lives as Christians. We're on our way to Easter, but we aren't there yet. We're still in the belly of Lent. Historically, this fifth Sunday of Lent was a turning point in the penitential season. This Sunday was the day that the crosses were first covered with purple drapes, along with all the pictures in the church as well. The focus of Lent shifted on this day from personal reflection and penitence to a focus on Christ's passion. The last 14 days of Lent was signified in this way to be a time of intense mourning. Times have changed. Maybe that's a good thing, and maybe it's not. Probably it's one of those both ands. Our readings today speak of the both and nature of our lives and the continuum of the dream of God for God's people and the world. Jeremiah offers hope for a new time with a new covenant that restores God's people into right relationship with God and with each other. God says, "I will be their God, and they will be my people." And we hear those words speaking to us as people who have been brought into the new covenant. Paraphrasing, no longer will they need to tell the story to their children because their lives will be the embodiment of the story. We're not quite there yet. We have the new covenant. Well, we're well on the way, but we're not there yet. The preacher of the sermon to the Hebrews tells of the humanity of Jesus, the one who came to reveal to us the way to live as those fully reliant on God. This reading, probably more than the others, brings us face to face with the reality of the humanity of Christ, who suffered and died to show us God's love. Quoting passages from the Old Testament and the Psalms, the writer of the sermon to the Hebrews places Jesus in the line of the unfolding story of God's work in the world and makes a point of bringing Jesus' ministry into the line of that of the ancestor Melchizedek and the high priest in the tradition of the people to whom he addressed. Jesus was one of them, they would have thought. Jesus was like one of the high priests, and yet God's son. Once again, a both and. Jesus was just like you and just like me. Jesus was fully human, which is perhaps the reality that we have the most difficult time accepting. The preacher of the sermon to the Hebrews wants us to remember and pay attention to the humanity of Jesus and his place in God's work. Jesus is the Son, the Beloved, and is in the line of Melchizedek, a priest first met by the ancestor Abraham. We hear that Jesus, in his earthly life, offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears, reminding us of the night at Gethsemane when he, in a very human way, asked to be removed from the events to come. And we hear that his prayers were answered. And that might give us cause to pause and wonder. If Jesus prayed to be spared with loud cries and tears to the one we are told was able to save him from death, and we are told that his prayers are answered, and we know that he was crucified, how are we to make any sense of this? How are we to find any peace with this? We are told that Jesus' prayer was answered. And looking in from the outside, it sure looks like this one was not. How can we make sense of this? How can we wrap our minds around this, much less our lives? It seems so inconsistent. Those of us who like nicely, neatly folded in a predictable and smooth package answers to this very difficult question could respond that Jesus' prayer was answered and the answer was no. Fred Craddock, a highly regarded preacher and teacher of New Testament, recognizes the unsettling nature of this verse in Hebrews, noting that Jesus, after praying with loud cries and tears, was answered in prayer with a sense of calm and a diminishment of fear. This is one of the many intimate realities of the experience of the life of Christ that we do not know. What we do know is that Christ was not spared death, nor will we be. We also know that we have hope in the promise that we have been given. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. We hear the first words of this verse as a projection of Jesus' death and resurrection, but perhaps it is not just a projection of the life of Christ, but is a potential projection for all of God's people. Perhaps our lives lived well are like the trees in winter waiting to blossom in spring. That is our hope. That is the promise we've been given through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, that we have been brought with Christ into new life. We are now living, breathing, fleshy people, just as Christ was a living, breathing, fleshy person in the first century in Palestine. We now encounter all the joys and sorrows, the pleasures and pains of being living, breathing, fleshy people. God himself came to us as a person. And that was the embodiment of the new covenant of which Jeremiah spoke. Jesus lived and died as one of us to show the way for all of us. Out of death came life. Out of barrenness came rebirth. When all seems lost, it is not. Pay attention. There are always signs of rebirth and renewal. The story begun in creation continues. Amen.